Welcome back to Beyond Classified. I'm Chris Matthew. Today, my guests are Lux and New York from New York Patriot and Occult Rejects Podcast. They are former members of the OTO and the Hermetic Order of the Golden Dawn. They are fed up and disgusted how the human race is being manipulated by magic. New York, Lux, welcome. How are you both doing today?
Great. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Of course, man. It's great to have you both on. I love the shows you're doing. I love the information. It's extremely valuable, especially during these times when we have a larger portion of the population looking into the occult, paranormal, spirituality, and we also have a large portion of people looking to get ahead during these times, like by spreading sensational information, disinformation, and basically bullshit, maybe sprinkled with a little truth here and there. But this is you guys' first time on. I'd love for you to tell us about what really brought you down your path, got you interested in the occult, and ultimately led you both to join magical societies. Let's start with New York.
Sure. I guess probably getting into conspiracy theories actually is what, going down those rabbit holes is what led me to the occult. I guess back probably, like I always say, around 2009, 2010 is when I probably really started getting deep into this stuff. I did believe 9/11. Obviously, something was up with that. And I had questioned what, was going on with our own government at that point. But it wasn't until later on that I really started getting into it. And right away, I pretty much started to get the idea, or I believe, that magic is real and that secret societies are a huge influence on what's going on in our world. So I just heavily got deep into that, started to, go down the rabbit holes in those things, different types of magic, orders, these people, this person, who's doing this, who's doing that. And, started to even wonder, is all this, even correct? And how am I even going to understand what magic is? Just trying to dig these rabbit holes on people's names and orders and where they formed and who started them. So I was like, maybe I actually might know more about magic if I started to practice it or learn it, at least learn and understand how it works. And, so eventually I started looking into, styles of magic and, or witchcraft. And I definitely found myself more, pulled to ceremonial magic. I tended to think that that was more a little serious and structured and maybe would have outlines and stuff of this is what's worked. So this is, why we do this, we've gotten results. So I got into that and found that I was very much into the the Golden Dawn / OTO type stuff. And I would have, if I had the choice, probably have joined the Golden Dawn, actually. But there was none around me. So when I started, about 6 or 8 months after practicing on my own from using books, I started really looking in places around my area. And there wasn't any except for an OTO lodge. So I kind of assumed that if I wanted to get into anything, that's my only option. I was not a huge fan of Crowley. I did think he was definitely a genius, an occult genius. And so I went with the OTO. I decided to get in touch with them. It's not that hard to, believe it or not. And I'm not saying that to promote people to go out there and look. It's just if you find their main site, it's going to show you where all their lodges are anyway. And contacts. And I found the, I found the one that was near me. I emailed them because I saw on their calendar they had a Gnostic Mass coming up and asked if I could go. It was an open meeting because they have open and closed meetings. I'm guessing maybe other secret societies might do the same thing, where people from the streets are welcome if you're not a member to join maybe certain classes or the Gnostic Mass. So, I told them I wanted to come, and I think they told me to get in touch with them the day of. I got in touch with them. They gave me directions to where the lodge was. I went, and then years and years later, I just found myself still there.
All right, very cool. And what about you, Lux? How did this all get started for you?
So I had grown up in a pretty Christian household. And I remember even from just a really young age, I would sort of read the Bible because it was something that was really impressed on me. And I would see these things in the Bible that just, you know, you see the word like matrix is mentioned in the Bible. And I would be like at a young age wondering what that meant, or all of these stories of Enoch and, you know, Ezekiel. And I always thought, wow, there's something deeper and there's something kind of hidden here. And I just remember experiencing that at a young age. And as time went on, I would say probably around 2003, 2005, I started to really get interested in looking into different types of religions. I just wanted to consume as much information that I possibly could about all these different like mystery schools and, you know, Egyptian beliefs. And you know, I just found it so fascinating. And so I began to read about these mystery schools. And at the same time, I was reading about, you know, same thing as New York Patriot, about conspiracy and things like that. And so I thought to myself, well, there's got to be something more here. And so I decided to look into the occult on a very basic level. And I thought, well, this is never going to do, because, you know, you look at one book about the occult and you look at a different book about the occult, they have two totally separate translations of things sometimes. And so I thought, wow, I could just be waiting, you know, in the water forever if I just research this stuff on my own and don't have anything that's structured. So I decided to look at these different orders. And all of them, it's really funny because they all kind of claim the same thing. They all say, oh, well, we are the real authentic Rosicrucian order, or we are the real Golden Dawn. And, you know, so you're going to, when you're looking for a secret society, you know, unless you don't get invited to one, a lot of times you can fall into pit holes. You can join a secret society that has no legitimacy at all. I mean, the stuff that they're teaching just is, you don't get any help. It's like you're mailing in money. They send you a pamphlet. It's like sort of, you know, not all societies are created the same. So I wanted to get into one that I knew was going to be really structured, just because I thrive really well in the structured environments. So I've been looking into the Golden Dawn and a specific lineage of the Golden Dawn that I thought was one of the most legit. And so I had to send in an application, and I really thought hard about putting that application into this one specific secret society, because I didn't want to just bounce around all these different ones and get mixed up. So I put in the application for the Golden Dawn. And after about a year vetting process, I had my initiation, and it was pretty much like I thought it was going to be. It was very structured, right? The Golden Dawn is a bit different than some secret societies in the sense that it's a really academic type of pursuit. It takes up so much of your day, and it takes up, you know, it's so much writing, it's so much research. You know, you're constantly checking in with your mentor about, you know, what does this mean? Am I doing this right? And so it's really rigorous. And that was one thing that I really did enjoy. But then as years went by, I began to see things that I disagreed with that didn't sit right with me. And I felt as though I was being, I don't know, misled. And there was a lot of gatekeeping too. And we can get into that a little bit more later. But yeah, that's basically how it all started for me.
Very cool. Well, yeah, thank you for going over that. Now, you mentioned a little bit about some of the differences that you might see in the Golden Dawn versus the OTO. What would you say is maybe some of the most biggest profound differences between these two magical orders? And you can both comment on this.
I mean, I'll
say with the... Yeah, you can go, Lux.
I mean, I was just going to say for the Golden Dawn, at least, they make the outward attempt to give the impression that they are not heavily influenced by Crowley and his magic and Thelema. So I would say that's probably one of the major differences between the Golden Dawn and the OTO, at least.
Okay. Any other comments on that, New York?
Yeah, I was going to almost the same thing where they will use... same ideas and rituals that the Golden Dawn uses. Those are still like the base, I guess like base rituals, like the bread and butter, but they will have their Thelemic rituals and their Thelemic beliefs, which are strictly from Aleister Crowley. You know, he has the Book of the Law. They use that book as, I guess, kind of like their holy grail, their Bible. And then it's some of his own specific rituals that he wrote, which the Golden Dawn, you know, at least, yeah, from what I know, the Golden Dawn doesn't use it. Maybe they connect and do that somewhere else, but that's the difference.
Right. Now, Lux, you told me a little bit about what brought you to lead the Golden Dawn, but could you go into a little bit more about what you started finding that didn't set well with you with these magical orders? We can start with you, Lux, and then we'll go to New York about what ultimately led you to lead them.
Sure. So as I remember, this was on the day of initiation. So during that year vetting process, before I even got initiated, I was told to do certain magical practices, some rituals, and literally the hour after initiation, I was pulled aside and I was told, well, you know, what we told you so far about how to perform this ritual, well, that's just what we released to the public. Now, here's the real version of how to do this ritual. Now, initially, I was like, cool, I got insider information. But then, you know, shortly after that, I thought, well, wait, if that's one thing, are there other things that I'm going to find? It just didn't sit right with me. And I would notice that I had begun to study something that I was really passionate about, considering the Sephirotic Tree of Life and quantum theory and how dimensional physics and reality sort of intertwine, and how the Tree of Life is more like a very early version of, you know, M theory or, you know, dimensional physics. And I was told, oh yeah, good research, but we don't want to talk to you about that. You're going to have to wait for way longer down the road. And I thought, well, wait a minute. If the whole experience here is to learn and to, you know, have these experiences where I'm moving up in my magical career, if I'm able to figure some things out, I should have, you know, I should have someone be able to tell me the truth. For example, if I'm in college and I do a really great research paper or something, and my professor pulls me inside and says, hey, good research paper, but I can't tell you, I can't tell you why you're right. And I can't, you know, yeah. I can't give you any feedback about it at all. You know, in your senior year, I'll tell you why you were, you know, what you did right about this paper. Like, that would literally make no sense because it stunts your progression. So that was just something that really didn't sit right with me. And there was always this tone of emotionless. No one ever showed any emotion the further that you got up. People seemed to be very robotic, and they seemed to be, I don't know, it was like they were all cardboard cutouts of each other. And the thing that ultimately really was the, you know, the last straw for me was when I began to find in my paperwork from the Golden Dawn parts where it looked at like the curriculum had been whited out, or that something had been changed. And so it would say something like in the order of, and then you would see something like whited out, and then it would say Golden Dawn on it. I thought, well, wait a minute, if this is our original document, why is it being copied over? And I began to ask about it and didn't get any type of clear answers. It was just very vague answers, wait and see. Well, because I'm just, you know, nosy, I eventually started to look up some of the orders that I had found in my paperwork that were not supposed to be associated with the Golden Dawn. And these were Thelemic orders that I could trace directly back to our associated websites and things like that, that were all linking to each other. So basically what it boiled down to was that had I kept going, I would have gotten into an inner order. And then within that inner order would have been another inner order. And that inner order was studying Thelemic magic. And so that just immediately made me go, nope, because I had said right from the jump that there was no way that I wanted to be involved in any type of, you know, Thelemic magic or Crowley's work. It was something I had said right from the beginning. And so I just, you know, was not going to wait around until the next thing happened, where it just felt you were like you were always being strung along.
That's what I was going to say. It's like you're being strung along and used and kind of a pawn for these higher level individuals to kind of use you to maybe get to where they want to be. What, you know, what would you say is the purpose of these, you know, lower level initiates? Do you think it's just for them to maybe get things done for the higher level?
Yeah, I would say so, to keep them in a certain place where they could be used or utilized for certain reasons. You know, if you're interested in the occult, well, I mean, that's great for the Golden Dawn and all these other secret societies that can keep people interested in the occult in one level, and they can just keep them there. Well, if you don't do or say the right thing or believe the right thing, well, you're just going to stay right at this level for a long time.
They probably expect most people to stay at the lower levels, though, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. What about you, New York? What was your situation?
At the end of it, it probably was a lot like Lux's in a sense. When I first joined the OTO, though, like I said, I wasn't a huge fan of Crowley. So going there, I guess I never was like 100% sold or attached to the order. But even when I first started going, I knew that I really didn't fit in. A lot of the people there are obviously different, even just in the way that they needed to advertise it and the way they dressed. I was not the same person. It seemed very liberal, you know. And at the time, I wasn't even huge into politics to even understand that that was the type of people I was around until I started to, started clicking and noticing things. But I for sure didn't feel like I fit in. There was a couple of people there that I kind of, became friends with or more of associates with, that I saw the order for something that was good for, classes. They did have classes, and a lot of it was like beginner type stuff. Really, very rare did they have anything advanced. So like it helped me at the beginning, definitely get ideas and understand other ideas of magic. And, there was a couple of people, like I said, that I got, kind of close to. I would, bounce things off of them because they were obviously far more advanced than I was, or at least book smart. They definitely knew technique more. So that helped. And I did get, that out of it at first. When I first joined, I thought it was going to be a lot more structured than it was, though. I thought you would actually get a mentor or kind of like somebody to, help you, guide you as you go through it. There is nothing like that. I know in the Golden Dawn there is, but in the OTO, they did not have that. So that was even another reason why I joined them, thinking that that was also a thing with them, but it's not. I stayed, and during the time that I stayed, the years that I stayed, my ideas have magic did change as well. At first, I had thought that it was a lot more of like manipulating the outside world. At some point, I started thinking that a lot of it was just more of the psychological aspect. So like in that thought, I was like, well, how bad is this stuff really? So I guess I kept myself there, not thinking that this shit is can be very different than as it appears. So, I continued going because of that reason. But that did help, though, in my magical experience. Believing in the psychological aspect ended up bringing me to having much more wilder magical experiences that confirmed my belief that that place is not somewhere to go if you're having those. The idea that in the ideology that they push there is very, liberal, very leftist. In my opinion, if you want to experience any real magic at all, that is not the frame of mind that you should have. You're not going to be able to get past certain barriers, in my opinion. And then if you were, I don't think your experience will be that pleasant with magic. They talk about shadow work a lot, which is really, in my opinion, just doing a personal inventory on yourself and getting rid of the demons that are running your life that you don't even notice. Looking at what program your brain has been running on for the last 20, 30 years. You're going to want to look at that, see why I make these decisions, why I do this, what makes me tick. And you're going to have to sit there and look at it and decide if you agree with it. And if you don't, you're going to have to change. The OTO almost does, from my opinion, from the vibe that they give off, the type of people that they give off, even some of the things they get involved with, like, in my opinion, I don't know if you really should be out there in a gay pride parade. I don't know if that's, you know, considered something as another organization that the OTO is not supposed to have an opinion on, you know? You know what I'm saying? So they do a lot of things that would go against kind of, you're supposed to be removing the chains and labels that you have been given yourself and programmed to believe. You need to do that to move on in a magical, you know, your magical path, I believe. And all they do is just keep feeding you different ones. The OTO is hugely over-sexualized. And in my opinion, that is done, you know, all by design. Sex will be, I think, one of the first things that can start throwing more shackles onto yourself if you overindulge to this world, and will keep you attached to this world, and will be one of the reasons why you will not be able to detach from this world. And they toss that around a lot. So I just started realizing through my own magical path, and I guess career, as you'd call it, this place seems to be the total opposite of how we should be trying to become. And once I started having certain magical experiences, I did believe that it's probably done on purpose, because I, in my opinion, as you go up in the degrees as well, there are things that you're going to have to do. And I think if you get to a certain extent, that shows to them that you have become a slave and that you can now be used and manipulated within the order. Just like there's a pyramid scheme people look at on the outside world, as we're on the bottom, the elites on the top, same shit inside those orders, I believe, or at least in the OTO. There'll be very few people at the top, maybe not even in that lodge camp or oasis, but they'll have somewhat of an idea, maybe, but someone somewhere or people, someone somewhere do understand what real magic is. And they are, in my opinion, using these places as creating slaves to a sense.
You mentioned the kind of far left ideology of some of these orders, and I'm sure at one point it was different. I'm sure that this has been infiltrated, yes, just like everything else lately, by, you know, those controllers, those that want to push these extreme left agendas and everything we're seeing nowadays to make the world burn and fall apart. I'm sure that these magical orders have also been infiltrated by these same scumbags, because, you know, it's another form of control at a different level, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, I've often wondered, like, I do believe that that's a possibility. I mean, like, there's even things like me and Lux, and I'm not trying to plug it or bring it up again, but I mean, like, we're going to cover the Scarlet Horse soon. And just that name in itself, on the average person, is going to look at it as sexually screwed up. Or you could look at it as sexual and be like, oh, I need to emulate that. Not say it in a negative way, but look at that sexual part and realize that, in my opinion, none of it really is sexual at all. It is just a parable to tell you something much deeper. So, like, I could understand how some people can look at some things and take it the wrong way, and it just starts getting corrupted itself within the order. But I have often wondered, let's say at some point, I do believe that orders were infiltrated by people that were screwed up. Could the OTO itself have been an extension that was meant to be screwed up to begin with? You know what I'm saying? Was that an idea taken from something that was positive, and now was like, how can we twist it and put it out there for people to actually not understand magic even more?
You know? Yeah. I mean, unfortunately, it's done over and over in our modern society with everything, you know, not just magic orders, things that we deal with on an everyday level. Now, I'd like to get both of your insights on this. What was some of the most, I guess, profound either rituals or outcomes that either of you have had using magic, ritual magic or otherwise, that you had learned from being in these societies? We'll start with Lux.
I would say some of the most important or occult information that I've found probably was not actually in even the Golden Dawn. But I would say one thing that was certainly profound in the physical sense is that there were different things that began to happen after initiation. And also just one particular thing that's always been very stuck out strong in my mind is that after initiation, there seemed to be like this expansion in some way of my mind. I know that might sound weird, but it's like I was able to retain information for longer. I was able to think faster. And it's weird because it's actually never gone away. That might sound bizarre to people, but it's like people even around me that I'm close to notice it. You know, it's just, I don't know if it's part of the initiatory process, but, you know, as you're doing rituals and things, physical changes would happen in your life. You know, they gave you warnings that, well, after you've been practicing these certain rituals for a long amount of time, it's a common warning in high magic that if you do these rituals for a long enough amount of time, you're going to begin to see things in your vision that aren't necessarily there, right? So it's like in a, it's like as the veil thins, because you're getting rid of all of the background noise around you, you know, planetary influences, you know, earthly influences and things, that you'll begin to see things sort of out of the corner of your eye. Or I think it was, Rigardi, Israel Rigardi. Don't quote me on that, but it was one famous magician in particular that said that he had been sitting and looked down underneath the table and began to see a snake. And this was like after he had done a ritual, and the snake slithers around and he sees it and then quickly realizes that it's not there, but it's sort of like a mental projection or something like that. And so some things like that would happen, nowhere near as strong as that account, but, you know, pretty bizarre stuff.
Oh man, that's pretty cool. What about you, New York? What you got?
Well, when I first started practicing, I will even touch on what Lux said. There was even a book, I think it was called like High Magic, something Lessons in Ceremony Magic or something. They even called it, I think, like the Little Nasties. That was their term that they used for it. And that does happen. You will, I've even had the same thing, things out of the corner of your eyes. You know, you can think like you see something and like you double take and it's like not there. Or, you know, weird shit like that. I will even say some of the things that started making me think, like, at least psychologically, that this stuff is legit is, you know, there was a certain practices that I was doing where it's like I'd have to close my eyes and try to like hold like a vision or something, like a, yeah, hold like a red triangle or something, or like draw a star in my vision. You would actually, I would be able to start visualizing that with my eyes open to a certain degree, doing ceremonial magic and doing specific rituals. And even I thought that's like pretty wild, considering like, I don't know, I normally couldn't do stuff like that. So like even within the mind and realizing like what you could do like inside your head, I was like, wow, that's like pretty fucking wild. You know, in the beginning also, there was like certain rituals where I did, you know, I one time was messing with Horus and, you know, the something was there. You know, the room got hot as fuck. It was, you know, thick. There was a, you know, difference in breathing. I was drenched in sweat. Even when I got done doing it and went and said something to my wife, because she was in the bedroom, I was using the living room. She was like, yo, you look like, and I wasn't even smoking weed at the time. She's like, yo, you look like you just like smoked like a fucking blunt to your head. And I was like, what do you mean? She's like, your eyes are so red. And I like went in the bathroom. My eyes were bloodshot. My shit was drenched. I had like water going down like the back of my shirt. That's how fucking like drenched I was. And it was just, I felt this very heavy, thick, warm presence. And dealing with him would be dealing kind of like with a Mars aspect. So like all that kind of fit. That one time, that one thing right there definitely made me think that something is going on with this shit. That in like reality. Like something did, I believe, changed. That was some of the more earlier things. I mean, eventually later on, I seem to have had the most wildest stuff happen during meditations, actually. I might have on some of them done ritual work through actually like, you know, specific rituals. I would use, you know, the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram and I would remove all the energies from me. Then I would do the lesser hexagram ritual. I would remove all planetary energies and influences, you know, now, you know, not on Earth, but now on a grander scheme. I've done that and then maybe invoked a specific energy. And near the end of my magical practice, doing something like that and then a meditation afterwards brought on some pretty fucking wild experiences that definitely have changed my life. And then it even started happening just from sitting down in a chair to meditate. So that, like, you know, I didn't even have to do the rituals now and the shit's happening. So, you know, it was pretty wild.
That is. Now, you mentioned, you know, how you were kind of doing a summoning of Horus. What are your thoughts on entity contact, you know, via these rituals or, you know, any type of summoning rituals where you are supposedly contacting an entity? I want to get your thoughts. Is this an actual conscious, intelligent entity? Do you believe that you're dealing with, or is it just a planetary energy or some kind of other energy from the ether? Or is it an actual, you know, intelligence that you can communicate with and that it can bestow powers, things of that nature? What do you think, Lux?
I would say both things are probably true. I would say that some of the energies that you are invoking are archetypes, right? Energies that are associated with, you know, certain planetary or certain planets. And just based on potentially even the electromagnetic vibration of that specific planet that invocates a certain type of feeling or energy that we then give a personality trait to or type to. So we try and explain it in our way as this, you know, this is what this energy is like. It's like a raging bull, right? It's like a lion or something like that. But at the same time, I definitely do believe that there are intelligent entities and beings that you can contact through certain rituals for sure. So yeah, I would say both are true.
Anything to add to that, Nick?
Yeah, I think both, like Lux was saying. Well, I do believe in these rituals. You know, I used to go a little extra, but I think it was because, like, it all kind of makes a difference. You know, most ceremonial magicians, you will have a decent amount of stuff held on an altar. But I appealed to Wicca, but I thought it was very Thelemic light. And in my opinion, I also thought it was actually dumbed down ceremonial magic on purpose. But there was a lot of things I pulled from that where I might have been a little bit more with herbs and crystals. You know, I'll admit it. I made my own incense herbs and some of my own sticks too, you know, as well, like sage sticks, but, you know, mixing it with different stuff. I do believe that, you know, if you haven't had like certain real wild magical experiences, I do think that somehow if your intentions are correctly, if your mind is really pinpointed on what you're looking to get, all those different associations that you might be using, like if you wanted to play around with Mercury, if you got like the crystals, the herbs, the mindset, you're invoking the right specific God. I do think that maybe somehow you can start actually creating that type of energy, a vibrational field from everything that you're just using and playing with, especially if there really is a mental connection to why you're using it and you understand it. I do think you can start to create almost your own vibrational energy of what you're looking for and maybe get that to go out and kind of accomplish something. Then I also think that you can actually tap in. It seems a little wild that maybe there are actually parts of your brain that I think you can kind of tap in and locate that might then go extend somewhere else.
Right. So yeah,
out there. It would be as almost like your brain is kind of like the GPS, but it reflects as above, so below. Now you're going to, if you're gangster enough and can do it, you will now shoot it out, you know, to the spirit world and maybe contact that and maybe bring that back. And that's a little bit different. And I think it's a little bit, you know, far more advanced and powerful.
Right. Yeah, I'd have to agree with that. Now, I want to get your thoughts on this. We'll start with Lux here. Do you think that there are a small group of people that is set out to kind of steer society in certain ways at all costs and that do with mass rituals, things like Mass killings, shootings, things like 9/11, things like the Vegas shooting, all these large scale events that trigger a massive response in society, and change culture. Do you think that there is a small group of people using these events to do so?
I would say that is one of the most, if not, top three things that we try to communicate to our audience, because the faster that we all come to that reality, the better off that we're going to be, because it is a smaller group, but they're way bigger in numbers than we perceive. You know, sure, it goes up to, 200 elite families, and it gets narrowed down to even more and more, and then you got 12 families or something. But that network is like a spider web, and it goes out and is controlled from a central, I think central group, or at least tandem groups working together in order to achieve different goals for the same agenda. So one group is in charge of education, one group is in charge of science, one is in charge of finance, but they're all working together like a giant crime syndicate. And to me, they do these rituals, and they make sure that the public can see them, and then they get some type of illicit reaction out of this ritual. So they perform a ritual to cause mass fear. And then they harvest that energy of fear while telling you what their plan is. And then that is moving their agenda along while they're getting, the energetic effects that they desire out of it. And from that, you can control entire populations, because what we've talked about over and over again on the podcast is that magic is many, many, many things, right? It's so hard to define what is magic. What one aspect of magic is the deep understanding of the human psyche, and some of the most occulted information that can be given to people is the understanding of the human mind, how it works and how it can be manipulated. These groups of people are magicians that have passed this information down for generations and generations. They keep it hidden, and they know how to manipulate the masses. They know what makes all of us tick, and they know how to press our buttons, and by pressing our buttons, then it furthers on what they want to get done. So I would say absolutely they do.
All right. What would you like to add to that, Nick?
I think, with the even with the OTO itself, I think part of their agenda is just to create liberal mindsets, regardless if they stay or not, just to go out and influence more people to think the same way. I for sure. I mean, like I said, I believed that even before I got into this stuff, and I could say I believe it a lot more now, and can really see how, how serious it could be. I do think they, at some point, I think they're connecting in some way. It's like a spider web that eventually connects to something, and I think there is just this mass agenda of a psychological attack on humanity, psychological, and it's being done through, like sound and visual effects. I think that's huge. I just think they are definitely pulling strings to push humanity, in my opinion, in a certain direction. They're trying to enslave us to where we don't even know who we are. I think if we actually really knew who we are and knew what magic really was, the world would not be in the way, would not be the way it is now. I do believe it'd be much better. It's just simply because if people understood what magic was, it may not be that easy to pull the bullshit over on people, because they'd be like, oh, well, I don't know what you're doing. I know what this is about,
Yeah. And to me, I think one of the biggest tools that they're using as a magical tool is media, movies, music, sure. TV. What are your thoughts on that? How large of a role do you think this is in controlling the masses with magic?
I think, I mean, I hate to say it, but I think most of it's actually all reality TV. You know, I do think most of the stuff, I guess the best way to say it, most of the stuff that we're seeing on TV, because of the way that we have been brought up to live, programmed for the way that our, you know, our mind works, we look at things at a completely like shifted, maybe like a 45 degree angle than I think everybody who's in charge looks at. Everybody who's understanding of occult magic, you know, or occultism, we look at it as in a completely different skewed way. They could necessarily be telling us a lot of the truth, but the way we understand words or the way we take phrases or the way we take the way we look at things has been programmed into us that we will not actually understand what they're saying. And a lot of times I do think they're telling us the truth. It's just that we have no idea what's really being said. So it is as like a play, and the characters understand what they're saying, but the audience is just completely fucking mesmerized by something totally different. You know, and that's exactly what I think is keeping humanity dumbed down to where they don't understand who they are, you know, what we're capable of as well.
Yeah, anything to add, Lux?
Yeah, I would say that that they do use occult principles and laws, you know, to reinforce what New York Patriot just said, right? You look at TV, you look at movies, where the music industry, these messages are always the same thing, right? There's always the same message. It's really bizarre how all of the same, all these films all have such similar, you know, events that take place. We see movies about pandemics a decade ago that are perfectly applicable to what we see now. We hear, you know, these different artists from the music industry get up and give the symbolism that is well associated and known to be a cult, and people just assume that, you know, it's, oh, well, they're just doing something cool, but that these artists don't understand what frequencies, what tones, what rhythms, what you know, BPMs, what even how to manipulate, you know, certain like the structure of music, even the way that we use it now is vastly different than the way that we used it in the 1500s. The way that music is written itself is vastly different. And, you know, it's, in my opinion, a lot of that is to take you to a much lower vibratory level so that you just become this sort of, you know, mesmerized, totally hypnotic type of person that just is based solely on emotion. And then once they have you in that position where everything is based off of emotion, that they can steer your emotion, which will then steer the way that society goes as a whole. You know, I mean, when was the last time that we heard a song that was promoting something good about, like, you know, helping the people around you and making sure that you're not an asshole and that you, right, you look inside of yourself to become a better person to impact the ones that you love? You don't hear that. And that's on purpose. That's not what sells. And so, yeah, they love to use the fear mindset. They love to turn all of us against each other. And they can do it in a lot of subliminal ways, from, you know, from music, like I was just saying, to stuff that they slip into movies that just gets put into your subliminal mind and it stays there until they want to activate it. So,
yeah, for sure. Now, do either of you still practice at all? And, you know, if so, what are you doing in your daily lives to kind of keep practicing? And how do you feel about magic and magical orders now, you know, after everything you've learned? We start with you in New York.
The only thing I really do is meditation and maybe play with some chakra work. You know, once I had, you know, like I said, at the end, I guess, of my magical career, I started realizing just through meditation, I was able to pretty much get to the same place that I was at. So I do believe meditation is powerful in itself. And you don't necessarily have to be meditating to a specific deity and, you know, a pantheon or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It could be a lot more of just you and God. So I find that to be something I still like to do. And the chakras, I do believe we have energy. You know, those things are real. You know what I'm saying? And that does, I think messing with those can help you spiritually and physically. But when it comes to the rituals that I used to do, I had often wondered, just even starting off with the lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram, you know, and then moving on to the hexagram, whatever that, you know, wherever I want to take it from there. Is that already putting me in a position that maybe I may not want to be in? You know what I'm saying? Is the whole structure of the system I'm using maybe corrupt in a sense? Like, I don't know. You know, I have no idea. So I don't want to mess with that stuff anymore. I'd much just rather quiet my mind and I guess maybe try to have conversations with God that way instead of through ritual work.
Very good. And what about you, Lux?
Yeah, I would say that in secret societies, I would definitely say there are, like I said before, they're not all created equal. I'm not going to say that all secret societies are evil. I'm not going to say that all the information that you're given in secret societies is evil, and it's not true. But for me personally, I can see how much it's been manipulated and, it's definitely been corrupted. So these secret societies, even when they try to, you know, on the outward appearance to look one way, it's very possible that the higher you go up, it's different. So I would, you know, we never want to shit on every secret society. It's just the ones that we've happened to look into are full of shit. So it's just, you know, we honestly, like we say all the time, we would love to research a secret society and have something come up that isn't just disgusting and revolving around kids and pedophilia and human trafficking and money laundering and death and, you know, illegal activity and gambling and bribery. It's what you find all the time, unfortunately. But I'm like I said, I'm not going to say that all secret societies are bad, but I would caution, deep caution, to anyone who is interested in trying to research the occult and to secret societies, that you have to be careful. You are playing with a loaded gun, because like we say all the time, magic is electricity. Magic can be used to help, light up a light, like a light bulb with electricity, but you can also shock someone with electricity. And if you don't know what you're dealing with, you could very well be the one who gets shocked. So I've gotten away a lot from ceremonial magic, and I do a lot more meditation and yoga. And really some of the most occult information that they don't want you to know is that what you think affects the world around you. What you think helps to fabricate the reality of that's going to be around you. And that's really dangerous to them, because the minute that we all figure that out, then they lose power. So I just would say to listeners that some of the most occult things that you can do is to monitor your mind, to see what your thoughts are. Why do I have these thoughts? Why do I always think negatively? Why do I always think in a fear state? And if I'm always thinking in a fear state, you know, that doesn't help me. It doesn't help the people around me, and help to root out the things in your mind that hold you back and hold, hold all of us back from getting out of this trap. So, I would say being mindfulness and conscious of your thoughts and where they come from is some of the most important occult information that you can have. And I'll tell you this, that if you can master that, if you can learn what you think, why you think it, change it for the better, become a better person by getting rid of the things that are disgusting about yourself that you don't even like, that you will be a better magician than 99% of other magicians that I've met.
Yeah, man. Very well said. I like that. Now let's close on this, guys. We both know that we're in a kind of shit show in the world we're living in right now. But I personally think that I think we've already won as a society. I think they're just like in the corner throwing like toothpaste and toilet paper at us, trying to keep us away, you know, just scratching like little bitches. But we've already won. We've already beat the shit out of them. They're already in the corner. They're down for the count. But they're just, like I said, they're throwing everything but the kitchen sink to try and give the illusion that there's still a chance that they could win with all these and agendas. We know what's going on, but I really don't think they have a chance anymore. I think that we're seeing major victories coming down the pipe already. I think that anything further they try to throw at us to further their agenda for global domination isn't going to work. I think most of society's already woken up to the bullshit right now. They just want to portray through the media that they haven't. They want to portray that most of the society is afraid and go and run to get their experimental jabs and all this stuff. But what do you guys think? Are you hopeful for the future? Are you feeling along the same lines or a little hopeless or what?
Maybe I'll go first because it's probably a little bit of both, actually. I see more people definitely, I think, waking up. I mean, for sure, that something's not right and something's off. And I even see a big uptick in people even being interested in the occult, thinking that has something to do with what's going on as well. So that's great. I think that's awesome. And, a lot of people are listening to stuff about that. I think that helps, but you also have a lot of people out there who are still mesmerized by other bullshit. But that's getting less and less also that I think I've noticed. I will say though, and it's something I might end up covering later on in one of our other series. There's things now that I have seen that to me have a lot more Saturn symbolism to it than I had noticed since probably back around George Floyd. Even within pictures that we've seen people and celebrities and politicians doing things that I didn't realize could actually be a huge representation towards Saturn. And just recently with Lux, I had noticed that the new year coming up falls on a Saturday and it is going into a black moon. It will be 2% lit, I think, the day of, and then the next day it will be completely a new moon. That's a little worrisome to me once I noticed that. So I do think that everything that we've been seeing might be a culmination up until that point. Now, in my opinion, either they should have been far more advanced at the way they had humanity locked up at that point, I think, to pull it off. Or, which would say, I guess we're kind of one and maybe we will start going towards another direction. Or is that like go time for them to really start fucking hammering us? You know what I'm saying? So I'm a little confused about what might actually be the outcome in the next year or so.
Yeah, and I go along
and
with
with the gloom and doom, but it's always a possibility.
It is, but I try to go along with like what Lux was saying and yourself about we manifest our reality. And if the reality I'm manifesting right now is everything is fine and I'm not noticing anything wrong, that's the way it's been going and that's the way that it'll continue in my reality. So I'm going to keep it going that way,
And I will even add, this and then not to say that, to push the end times idea even more, but I do believe that if you have somewhat of an idea of what reality might be and when that time comes, if you are not full of fear within yourself and you have love and understanding and not afraid to pass on, I think we will experience what some people will call heaven. And I think the people who are stuck into a certain fear mind, a vibratory state, I even hate to say it, maybe even something that somebody might have taken a jab of that might be keeping your frequency in a specific fucking, vibratory rate, you are going to get stuck and recycled through the next matrix.
Yeah, so, man.
I do think there will be freedom for some people, but maybe not others.
What do you think, Lux?
Yeah, I'd like to think about it as, we're on a timeline and that timeline can always change. Our the way that we feel personally affects that timeline, but then also as a collective, as a whole, the way that we feel and think can also alter that timeline. These guys have been up to some really nasty stuff. When you look at them, they've researched, the particle physics thing, right? These guys are really sick. That some of them really do believe that they can keep us all trapped here and that they can become gods on Earth. I mean, that's part of their agenda. They could usurp the natural law or natural will of things and do what they want and keep us all trapped here. And that's part of their agenda. So I would say that's certainly scary. Everything from technology, even down to the jab that New York Patriot was just talking about. So they have planned for a very long time. And I think that, you know, we have to realize that they have planned that for such a long time and learn how to combat that, because, you know, if people just totally ignore all of these things, then I think less people will be saved, right? And not in like the Christian sense. I mean, their own salvation of being able to exit whatever this is that we're in. So they want to try and drag as many down with them as possible. So I would say that's a real concern. But like I've said before, they've done all that planning. They spent millions, billions of dollars when all these jabs, all this technology, 4G, 5G, you know, tracking, what's Facebook looking through your phone all the time, watching what you're listening to.
Got metaverse coming too.
Right. They've spent so much money on those things, right?
Yeah.
Well, why? Well, the reason is because you and me are what they fear the most. That is why they spend so much money. If we were no big threat, and if we didn't have the power to turn all of this around, then why would they spend all the time and money to do it? We're their biggest threat. And I think the larger that message can get out that, you know, we have way more power than we think that we do, that it's just, you know, humanity has to take the chains off. I think the faster that we get the message out of these things, the more that people, you know, break off those chains. I think that society will be in a much, much better space. But always, you know, think about how you can achieve that that freedom first, you know.
Very well said. Well, guys, Lux, New York, thank you so much for coming on. That was awesome, guys. We're going to have to do this again sometime soon. Before you head out, let the audience know you guys have anything interesting coming up on either Occult Rejects or New York Patriot podcast upcoming.
Well, for my show, I'm actually dropping me and Sean McCann did a Ninth Gate series. I think that's pretty interesting. Trying to decode the Ninth Gate. I think, honestly, if my viewers were to watch that and listen to that, they might get an idea of like how deep the series is going to be that me and Lux are coming up with after. It should be out in probably a month, maybe a little bit more. The Scarlet Whore. That's going to be a very deeply occulted series that my opinion will be showing a lot that people will probably be like, what the fuck? Like, I never looked at it that way. But it's because we've all been made to look at it in a sexual way. So we don't understand it or we don't even look at it. But it is one of the stories that's actually telling you how magic happens.
Very cool.
Yes.
So awesome.
There'll be a lot of stuff dropped in that series.
All right. And Lux, got anything to plug before you head out?
Just check us out on anywhere you can find podcasts, Apple, Spotify, you know, Spreaker. We are on Twitter. You can find us at The Occult Rejects, on Discord. You can also find us on Gab. And unfortunately, we don't have a YouTube channel right now. We got kicked off of YouTube.
Congratulations.
Yeah. It's a badge of honor.
It is. Oh, yeah.
But yeah, come check us out if you like it. And, you know, pass it on, spread it to your friends and family.
Awesome. Well, thanks again, guys. I'm going to have all those links in the description for everyone. Go check out the New York Patriot podcast, Occult Rejects. Awesome stuff. And like I said, we're going to have to talk again soon, guys.
Definitely. I'll have you on again, too.
Awesome, guys. Well, you have an excellent evening, and we will talk again tomorrow for Day Zero.